Good evening, everyone. Welcome to Holy Crap, the Vlogcast. Vlogcast that comes from a skeptical point of view to answer some of the questions of why. This vlogcast started as a combination of spite and the Streisand effect when some people on Facebook told me that I was doing Facebook wrong by correcting them with stuff that they were posting because Facebook is for posting things that you think are right, whether you're right or wrong, apparently. Part of this also comes because we like to go through and try to go with the old idea that sometimes the journey is more important than the destination. I'm known as Shujin Tribble all over the place. You can find me on G+, Twitter, Facebook, etc., etc., etc. under that name. I was born in Brooklyn, New York, raised on Long Island in a Roman Catholic family. I now currently reside outside of Buffalo, New York, and I am an unabashed atheist. Joining on the roundtable tonight is Heretic Woman.
Hello. So I am out of Ontario, Canada, raised in the United Church of Canada, joined a Calvinist sect for a while, which wasn't one of my smarter decisions. Been an atheist for 25 years now and loving every minute of it.
Also on the roundtable this evening is Unrenowned Tech.
Hey folks, Unrenowned Tech here. Excuse the mic quality, it's cell phone time again. I reside in Maryland. I grew up in a mixed religious background household, which allowed me to see from different viewpoints. After trying and researching, I have decided that it's all foolish.
That was real quick. And sure. Joseph.
Evening, folks. Name's Joe. Born and raised in, well, born in Chicago, Illinois, raised in southern Ohio to a Roman Catholic family, also with some Presbyterian in there, but that's a long story.
We won't hold it against you.
marriage is, you know, anyway. Served 8 years in the United States Armed Forces, after which I have moved to Pittsburgh. And am now serving as a graphic designer and quite clearly an atheist. But
okay. You're watching us for episode number 42, otherwise known as Twilight Sparkle, Get Out of the Fucking Library for a Change, You Goddamn Egghead. There's a joke in there for some people that want to follow it, but we'll come back to that in just a
And there's
second.
A clue by four waiting for you.
You'll have to find me. And
don't worry, I already hit him with the tattoo that I sent him.
I already found you. Like, twice.
Yes, that's true. We'll talk about that afterwards. Anyway, now that we're actually back on duty again, let me give you a little quick rundown with 5 minutes as far as to what was happening. First off, I did nasty to my back. Now, for those of you that were paying attention to the tweets and the G+ messages and the Facebook messages, I did a nasty on my back, and it was nothing that I tried to bring on, obviously enough, and it's not something that I expected would ever have happened. Apparently, and I'm going to say this very guardedly, apparently, I pinched the sciatic nerve in my back. Now, for those of you that are unfamiliar with this idea, you've probably heard the term sciatica before, which is exactly what that is. There's a bundle of nerve that runs from near the bottom of your spine that goes down each leg. Pretty significant piece, too. But apparently, for whatever reason, while I was stooping down to siphon gas from the power generator that I've got for emergencies into a can so I could put it into my snow thrower, because, you might have remembered a snowstorm, Buffalo, like, destroyed, like, everything in, like, a 15 gajillion mile range. It was pretty nasty. So, a day into it, I saw the weather reports, and everything was moving north from where I was, so I probably should at least get some of the snow off the driveway. Boom. Suddenly, I need to regas the snow thrower. And my left leg is simply pain. No other way to describe it. I had to pull the snow thrower backwards into the garage, get inside, have my daughter take my boots off, and get into bed. And it was so bad that I was giving serious consideration to calling 911 and saying, I need to be transferred to a hospital because something's really, really wrong. Let me give you an idea as to where how bad it was. The house that we built, my wife and I here, in the master bedroom, we have the bathroom, shower, toilet, vanity, sink, all one big room. And it's maybe 20 feet, maybe, from my bed to the bathroom to the toilet. There were a couple of times I got out of bed. I got to the bottom of the bed and said, you know what, screw this noise, hobbled back into bed and was sweating from pain. Mm. That gives you an idea as to how bad it was. Now, I will admit it. When my wife was alive, she told me on many an occasion, when I really got sick, I was a big old baby. Truth be told, this was not one of those times where you could be anything but. So, for all of you that have had to put up with the winter weather, and for all of you that still are going to, with the snow and such, just know full well that you got to be careful. And even just being careful from having a heart attack from shoveling or being out there with a snow thrower, you know, there are things that you can be aware of. There are things that you can be careful of. Don't do anything stupid like keep the snow thrower auger running when you're trying to clear it of snow. Don't try to refill it with gasoline while it's still running. But most of all, if you're going to be alone for whatever reason, you've got your walking, talking piece. Keep it with you all the time in this winter weather. In my particular case, I'm not especially old. I make the joke about being 39 years old, but that's a joke left over from Jack Benny. I'm 45. For something like this to just suddenly go is not unheard of, but at the same time, it's not typical. So if you're going to be doing, and there's inclement weather, just be careful. We learned last week that without spending a crap ton of money, this is probably a slip disc that's put itself back into place. But without paying the extra couple of grand for an MRI, we can't really know for sure exactly what it is. But for right now, for this very moment, I'm going to go as far as to say, whatever it is, sucks. I don't want you to go through it. We learned in the 80s from a very, very good desk sergeant something to always remember. Let's be careful out there.
I think I have an inkling of what you're talking about. When I was in freshman in high school, I had acute torticollis. For those who don't know what that is, the layman's term is Ryer neck. And I sneezed, but my head was at an angle. And the muscle group in the right side of my neck all tensed up at the same time and pushed three of my vertebrae in my neck to my left, out of alignment, pinching nerves in the process. The pain was so intense and sudden, I clapped my neck. And luckily I had a chiropractor who could put my disc back in because the hospital wanted to surgically move them. And then told my parents that if they did so, I was going to be on pain medication for the rest of my life. Wow. But we had a chiropractor who was a true chiropractor. He never said that chiropractic would heal wounds or cure illnesses. It was only his services he advertised was only for putting bones that were not broken, that were not fractured, back in their proper place. And that was it.
That's exactly right. The doctor that I saw did mention that the possibility of chiropractic treatment might be a worthwhile option without having to, you know, go surgical and whatnot. But I definitely said, you know, I had been to a chiropractor when I originally injured my back in college. It wasn't one of these applied kinesiology kind of things or anything like that. So it was, I took the idea under advisement, but for right now, it's exercises to try and get everything going. As well, a bunch of people,
I was going to say, if you are going to look into a chiropractor or another chiropractor, the advice that my chiropractor gave us when we found out we were moving out of the New York area was that wherever you go, if you find a chiropractor who says he can prescribe medicine, run. Do not walk out of his office because he's not a true chiropractor, or she. Most chiropractors do not typically make enough money to afford an x-ray machine in their office. If they've been around for a really long time, maybe, but usually they outsource that to a lab. If they hint in any way, shape, or form that the chiropractics will make the cold go away or help your wounds heal faster, once again, don't go there. But if they do, like I said, you know, that they're just talking about putting this stuff back in alignment, and you know, that's somebody you can look into and feel a little bit different to build a rapport with first. Many chiropractors, if they hear you've had an accident or fallen down stairs or a car accident or something like that, before they even touch your bones, wherever it is that's painful, most will usually insist on an x-ray, and that's okay because they can't move anything if it's broken or fractured. Otherwise, they can make it worse.
Yeah, and we've heard way too many stories about bogus chiropractors doing stuff on infants, and that's something for another night. There's definitely something for another night. First off, of course, I want to greet everybody who is over here in the Q&A and watching on the Hangout page. Thank you very much. See you guys, and thank you for your well wishes over the time. And JM, in particular, I wanted to, since you mentioned about your guy over here, 6 months is a long goddamn time. Mm-hmm. I got no problem with using this term now for anything. So I'm assuming from the way that you're talking about it, typing about it, that you are in okay shape at this point. So good on you. I hope. I hope I'm right. But you take care of yourself, man. Because as I've also heard, you know, done it once, you're liable to have it happen again. But that's a whole other thing for later. So you take care of yourself.
Hi, Joseph.
What? I was waving to the people.
But you know, go ahead.
Well, are you talking to JM, Missy, Joseph, or
that's Joseph? No, that's Joseph.
I'm not the only one.
No, Joseph was on our conference call the other night, so he's an expat Canadian living in Gay Paris right now.
Oh, so he's actually learned how to properly speak French. Well done.
Little known fact, I actually found out the other day that croissants were not invented by the French.
Omelette de fromage.
Okay. Somebody's been watching Dexter's Laboratory.
That's right.
But I was going to say, Shujin, I highly recommend massage therapy over chiropractic. I can't deal with the bone crunching, but massage therapy, if done properly, achieves much the same thing, but in a much more controlled and slower fashion.
The next time I can get down to the trailer park, I'll go looking for the red light, and yes, I will go ahead and I'll get myself that massage.
There you go.
Go see Miss Diamond.
See, thankfully,
I don't know. When the doctor put my neck back into alignment, the guy was tricky. I mean, he's got his hands on the back of my head. He's feeling around with his fingertips around the vertebrae, and he goes, hey, did you know your fly's unzipped? And I went, what? And he went, and a wave of relief flooded through my body. I was like, oh, that's great. And he's like, you like that? And I said, oh, he's great. He's like, great, we're going to do it again. Like, I'm going to sleep for an hour now. He's like, take as much time as you need. We're done.
Yes, wow. Yeah.
So, see, sometimes it pays to do things fast.
I don't know how this is going to affect me in my old age, whether or not I see it, but...
Personally, I want you to see old age.
I don't. I mean, they're the adult diaper, you know, wheelchair, risking everything just to get to the bathroom years. I don't want those.
Dennis Leary's quote.
Oh, bite me. Anyway, I don't know how this will affect my... situation, but I've actually got two vertebrae that are pinned together because of, well, overseas stuff. I've also got five pins in my knee. And thankfully, those, you know, the stresses that can put on my back at this point are not that great. However, don't ask me to take stairs. I've made the mistake of trying to take 7 flights of stairs in the school that I'm attending and have actually fallen down them as a result of my knee going out. When I have the a knot the size of a grapefruit on my knee, yeah, that's when I say, you know what? I ain't doing this no more. I don't care if I'm only going up or down one flight or one floor. I'm taking the elevator.
Dude,
and that's one. You know, that is one thing that really drives me nuts are the people that, you know, just go one floor up or even worse, one floor down and use the elevator and hold up everybody that are on the elevator to do so. Unless there is a medical condition or, you know, they happen to have a lot of stuff.
Nobody has a medical condition. Like my sister, she has fibromyalgia. Okay. Mm. So she has her good days and her bad days. She carries around a collapsible cane with her at all times.
Yeah.
I've considered getting one of those.
We were getting onto the metro. I had gone to visit her and we needed to get onto the metro. And so she's waiting to take the elevator. And some lady comes by in a wheelchair and starts chewing her out. Yeah. And my sister let her have it.
Yeah. Well, I was going to say, when I was having my problems this summer, I actually ended up with an accessible parking placard for the first time ever. And I felt bad because there were days where I was sort of okay. Like, my problem was I would walk for 5 or 10 minutes and my back would seize up on me unless I had something to lean on. So I could get into a store, and if I had a shopping cart or something, I'd be okay for a while. But it wasn't when I parked in the space, it wasn't readily apparent that I had an issue. So I always felt like, you know, oh, I'm not limping right now. People are going to think I'm just like using the stupid spot. And I have every legitimate reason to do that because by the time I come out of the store, I might be, you know, hobbling. But at that point, I wasn't. So that was kind of, you know, you feel like, oosh, you know, because I don't look,
dude,
you know.
Don't feel bad. I got yelled at getting out of my sister's car, which had a placard I pulled into the handicap space, and somebody in a, like, one of those black Cadillac SUVs, you know, the kind of stupid rims on them, pulls up behind, starts cussing me out, and I was like, hey, I'm fine. I don't need the space. And they're like, why'd you park there then, you asshole? I said, because she needs it. And I point to my sister, who's getting out with the assistance of a cane.
Yep.
Well, and they just, like, peeled rubber and drove off. I was like, yeah, fuck you.
You know what I learned?
I'm sorry.
What I learned from using the placard and parking in shopping centers, they've designed shopping centers ridiculously because you park in the accessible spot. Guess where you have to go to put your cart back? There are no cart returns anywhere near an accessible space. So I would get there with my shit, put it in the car, and then I had three choices. Either go all the way back to the front of the store, which was sometimes closer, and leave it at the front, walk all the way to where the cart return was, or if there was a curb, I would stick it up on the curb so at least it wouldn't hurt somebody's car. But, you know, that defeats the purpose because I'm trying to get to my car sooner, and then if I have to go find somewhere to put the damn cart afterwards, that completely defeats the purpose.
You're so much nicer than me.
Why, what would you do?
I would throw the damn... I would send the thing peeling down the parking lot and, you know, say, yeah, hope for the best, everybody.
Well, this is Canada. We'd probably, you know, be saying sorry that we had to move it that far in the first place.
Yeah, and as somebody who's pushed carts for a living for a while, anybody who has any pull whatsoever with parking lots and such... for striping them. And I'm going to specifically target Wegmans, who is a great, great company. If you can stripe an extra area where the handicapped parking is, and call it whatever you want, whether it's easy access or whatever, put a section that is zebra striped off in a different color that says, leave carts here. Make it difficult for people to have to make the choice to do leave it on a curb or throw it aside and throw their back out again, because been there, done that. Seriously, just a little extra something. Something that says, please leave your cart here for the next person.
What I had thought, because at the end of each row of parking, they would have a fairly large curb there, turn that into a cart return right there. It acts still as a curb, but at least then people using the handicap spots have somewhere to put their damn carts.
Yeah, but you're a heretic. You should be forced to walk that cart back. even if you have to crawl on your hands and knees to do it, thank Jesus when you're done.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, like that's tech. Yeah,
I just felt on that out. Into the corner, tech.
I've been having alcohol. I have silly thoughts.
He's lucky. I almost said something that I shouldn't say on this show.
at least not on this episode.
No, it's.
I already dropped the F-bomb once. I think that we're at our limit for today.
We'll see about that. I almost said a bad joke. So.
Well, I'm used to, see, now that I have my own show, I'm used to saying whatever the hell I want, so.
Fair enough. So, all right, so let's really get into the meat and potatoes of this whole thing. And by the way, those of you that are watching at this point live, please, by all means, take advantage of the Q&A system. It's there so that you can interact with us and you can throw ideas our way. Since we did miss out last week because me, I'm not Superman, apparently. Go fig. I kind of fudged a little bit on trying to figure out what we were going to end up talking about this week, and I intentionally made it somewhat nebulous. Since this is episode 42, which is, of course, the answer to everything, I figured we should probably follow through with one of the things that I had been taught, and I've taught Tiny Tribble through the years, which is it's not most important to know the answer to something. What's more important is to know where and how to find the answers to things. So we're going to kind of talk through a couple of these things. And I want to start off with one of the easy, yes, Joseph?
I was promised meat and potatoes.
Yes. Well, you know what? You had Thanksgiving dinner.
You don't promise an Irishman meat and potatoes and you don't deliver.
How about if I promise you alcohol the next time we get together?
I think that might work.
It's broken brain.
We'll take it as work. So we're going to gavel that, and we're going to table that till next week.
So according to Ken Ham, there is a book that has all the answers.
Yes, and the big difference between us and. Well, I was actually trying to remember Okay, Mr. Ham, which, by the way, if you follow the Old Testament, dude, you really should change your last name. You would think after all this time you'd figure it out. The big difference between you, Mr. Ham, and your book, and us, Mr. Ham, is that our book has a plural S on the end of it, which means that we've got more.
Yep.
Our library is bigger, which I'm loosely stealing that from a scene from Justice League of America. Ours are bigger.
Mine has bigger. Well,
now, thanks to the passing in Texas, they now have some more books to go along with the Bible.
This is true. I've heard about this.
Yep, and that's exactly the piece I was going to hit. Let's go ahead and talk about the goddamned system of printing goddamned textbooks in the United States of Dumbfuckistan on this one. And you know what? I don't care this time around. There is nothing that I care more about than calling it the way that it is. And trust me, as soon as Noah and Heath and Lucinda, hi guys, can you be on my show again, please, soon? I'll email you. They would call it exactly that. And I don't even know where to begin with this one, except with you, Joe. Where did you do basic training? Where?
Oh, gosh. Basic training 10 years ago. No, more than that. I'm getting old. I was originally supposed to do basic training at Fort Knox, but due to an influx, I actually got shipped down to Fort Jackson.
Which happens to be where?
Which happens to be right outside of Columbia, South Carolina. Home of the cow ant. That's a story for another day.
Fair enough. So, you've had your opportunity of interacting with people who are from various different areas of the United States. I'm assuming some of them were taught in Texas also.
Here's my issue, and this is something that I've been meaning to rectify for a long time.
Queers and steers comes to mind. Sorry.
Thank you, Mr. Ermey. or Gunny, rather. I have been, thus far, to Ireland, North Ireland, Germany, France, Kuwait, Qatar, Uzbekistan, Kazakhstan, Afghanistan, Stevenstan, Iraq, Japan, South Korea, arguably North Korea, though they didn't like me stepping over the line in that little building they have there, the whole Peace Center or whatever they call it. China. Just to name a few. I've been to, and you know, I have seen pretty much the entirety of, you know, Kuwait. There's not much to see. It's kind of small. Qatar, Iraq, and Afghanistan. I've seen pretty much all there is to see there. Thus far as my own country is concerned, I have not. I've been all the way up to Massachusetts. I've been all the way down to Georgia. But I have not, and you know, up and down the East Coast. But I have not been any further west than St. Louis, Missouri, which is something that I've been meaning to rectify for a long time. Unfortunately, you know, dinero is a slight issue there. Anyway, I have met many folks from all walks of life throughout the U.S. because, you know, that's the kind of thing that kind of happens in the military. Most of my military time was spent down in Georgia. So I did get to see some of the nothing against the people of Georgia, but there are some communities in Georgia where let's just say common sense is not so common. for instance, you know, the community that opted to teach creationism as a science alongside evolution, the community that decided to say that they could not teach evolution.
That's crazy.
It goes on. So, yeah, I've seen some things.
Yeah.
And that's rather sad. Eretic woman, I'm going to get you, then I'm going to get you, Tech. How, because unfortunately, I am much more centric on this side of the border for understandable reasons. What happens for you guys for schooling, textbooks, and such? I'm assuming that you guys don't have quite the same kind of setup as what we do, where Texas is the biggest purchaser, so they make a lot of the decision for everybody else.
Yeah, no, ours are dependent on the various school boards. So education is very provincial. The federal government doesn't have a whole lot to do with it. So it would be the individual school boards that would source their textbooks. So, and they aren't limited really beyond what they've collectively decided is their curriculum. So each board is pretty much free to source wherever they like from. And I don't believe, I could be wrong, but I don't believe that we even have a Canadian source. I think they might have them printed to our standards, but they might go abroad for that. I'm not 100% sure.
It could be worse.
It's not something that's ever been an issue in my recollection. It has always been, science, period. We've never, in my lifetime, had an issue with intrusion of shit like intelligent design or any of that crap. We are very secular, except in Ontario, Catholic schools are funded by the government. But that is done by asking the taxpayer which stream of school board they want to support, which is why they get rid of it, or why they get away with it, because they have this, well, they're choosing to support the Catholic schools because they're Catholic. But there is an uproar right now in Ontario, and we are actively trying to get rid of the funding for the Catholic boards. But as far as textbooks go, it's really never been an issue up here. It is strictly science only, and I've never, ever heard of an issue with religion creeping into it, thankfully, because that's just unconscionable.
All right, so Tech, how about down for you? Have you had any kind of problems with the school boards or anything to the like for your knowledge? And have you had to deal with anybody who's been substandardly educated, shall we say, in the tech field?
Well, when I was growing up, I grew up in New York. Science books contained science. That was it. And it was fantastic. The history books contained history. The math books contained math. Each subject was unto itself.
Okay, Tech, hold on a second before you go any further. The rest of the panel, I'm going to, give me a second over here, I'm going to modify everybody else's microphone for the moment. I'm going to mute everybody else out for while Tech is talking for a second to see if that brings his volume up. So if you see it mute out, that's okay. That's exactly what's supposed to happen. Right. Okay, so yeah. Tech, go ahead.
Sorry, I'm house sitting, so I'm cell phone only restricted today. When I was growing up, the texts that we had for elementary school, junior high, and high school, the science books had science in them, the history books had history, the chemistry had chemistry. They really didn't stray off their subjects. The only book that I remember causing any kind of a stir was a history book that there was one little section that, well, the section itself wasn't small, but within that section there was a small portion of it that had indicated that we had won the Vietnam War. And when the teacher had tried to teach my sister's class that as a fact, not only did my father come to the school the next day, but several other parents came as well. Some military, some had friends in the military, that sort of thing. And they let the school have it. And the school admitted that that part of that text had slipped past the vetting process because, well, it's New York, you know, it's not typically a problem. So other than that, there were no issues with any of the text growing up. There was no religion in any of this stuff except in referencing in like geography. What were the popular religions based upon population in different sections of the world? And then what the basic concepts of those religions were, you know. But other than that, they didn't preach. You know, they didn't try to turn you into a Buddhist monk or a Hindu or any of that. So there was never any problems. There was never any parents outraged or anything like that. As for dealing with people, as far west as I've been is only Kentucky, which is sadly to say not that far west. But I have met many people who, you know, they think that whatever's in the Bible, you know, that's the truth, that the science is a falsification. It was created by Satan, that they only answered what they had to answer to get their GED. Things like that. And that I've heard of science teachers out in the Midwest having been caught saying, okay, this is what you have to learn about science, but we all know it was Jesus, right? Okay, good, let's move on. And I listened to the recording that Aaron Raw, he had his team do for the Austin, Texas, or I don't know if it was Austin, but the Texas School Board Book Review. And I think what happened there was is, based upon what I was listening to and the way the board was responding to the people who were bringing their issues forward with the books that were being reviewed, is I think the board, because of their wording, was able to legally ignore every single complaint about the books that did not reference a chapter, page number, paragraph, line, sentence line, those sort of things, because one student had stood up and said something and had said where in the book to find it, and one of the board members said, by the way, I'd like to go on record as saying thank you for doing what we asked you to do, yada, yada, yada. But that was never said to any of the other people. They talked about sections addressing history and how that particular portion of history wasn't accurate, or it was giving credit to the wrong group of people, or it was referencing a nationality, referencing, associating one group of people with a different background than they were supposed to have, but they didn't reference page numbers or chapters or sentence lines, and I think that's how they legally were able to get away with what they did. So in my opinion, based on my limited knowledge of the situation, part of the problem wasn't a part of the problem was the school board, and part of the problem was the people bringing the problems, the issues forward, didn't do it to the letter that was required in the instructions given, handed down by the review board to the people such as Aaron Raw and the rest of them. Because I, you know, from what I listened to him, I don't remember him. And I'm wrong. If I'm wrong, somebody let me know I'm wrong. I'll go back and listen to it again. Him referencing a chapter or a page number or a paragraph line or any of that.
Okay.
And I think that was that.
That's where I want to stop you out, and I'm bringing everybody back out from mute because that that worked out just perfect. That worked out brilliantly. So apparently there's something with the sound leveling inside of the Hangouts that we'll have to try to figure later. So that is something that is that's a huge, huge ass issue. The red tape that goes into these exact things. when something is wrong, it's fairly easy for people to go ahead and say, let me look it up and find corroboration for, is it right or is it wrong? This is something that happens more often than I care to count on Facebook. And for me, I'm getting sick and tired, and I will be the first to admit it. I'm getting sick and tired of seeing stuff forwarded on my cousin's timeline where all I needed to do is highlight the first sentence, right-click, search in Google, boom, oh, look at that, the first one up is Snopes. It's false. Okay. That
drives me crazy. That's one reason why I don't even hardly read my, quote, real Facebook anymore, is because I get so tired of that shit. And as soon as I see it, I throw up a Snopes, and they're like, oh, I didn't think to look there. I'm like,
And it gets even worse, because if you go ahead and you quote out Snopes, you inevitably get the whole Snopes is run by blah, and they can't be trusted because blah, and they've got it out for this, and blah, blah, and the whole... And then it becomes a whole, okay, you say that Snopes is run by blah, and they've got it out for this group, but yet you're quoting from a group that says in their about that they are a right-leaning conservative group who are looking to go and do with the family value and the marriage that's traditional and the whole thing. Yet meanwhile, wasn't it 1,000 wives and concubines for somebody in the traditional in the I could be wrong about that. What Joe? What?
Just in general.
What? That you want me to reel it in? Is that what you're saying?
No. To the individuals whom you were describing.
Oh. Yeah.
See, now you're making me think that I need to go out and buy Guardians of the Galaxy. Thanks, I appreciate that. So here's the thing. When we've got these kinds of roadblocks, when we've got these times where we can say, you know, what's going on, what is right and what is wrong, and I did not change the audio levels. There we go. How do we get past here it comes again. How do we get past the dogmatic objections? Because that's what it really comes down to. This is something that we've talked about before, a couple of episodes back, where it all comes down to not religion, but it all comes down to dogma. And it can happen on both sides of the argument. We've seen that on many an occasion. How do we break through the bull? And I'm trying to be nice about it. Let me come back. I'm sorry?
20-pound sledgehammer.
Sledgehammer.
See, 20. I like this idea a lot. I really, really do. But unfortunately, at least in New York State, we can't use this as a self-defense argument in court when they finally come back and say, oh, geez, Your Honor, I'm sorry. His head looked like it was smaller than what it was. I thought I was playing croquet. So,
percussive adjustment doesn't always solve everything, but it sure makes you feel better.
This is true.
It works on a lot of more things than you'd think.
Yeah. Yeah. Well. We've, as Tech and I will attest, we have heard of digital dog cow fixing a lot of things through percussive and not so percussive maintenance. And if you happen to be watching at any time in the future, digital dog cow, thank you for helping me with so many times where I needed those laps. Jesus,
dog cow, we miss you too.
It's been a long time. Well, another show in the future. I'll explain all about digital dog cow and the whole thing afterwards. So let's deal with the problem here.
He's we want to try to find.
I don't know. Don't care. So we've got lots of books. We've got lots of books. And we've got lots of people who do the due diligence. We have people who learn, who inquire, who go through and do research and pull up information from other people who've done their due diligence and tried to break stuff and make it fixable and make it workable. It really is, how do we break through dogma to deal with people who just want to say, no, you're wrong, no, you're wrong, no, you're wrong, when so many skeptics are just saying, I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm saying you haven't looked at enough information, and if you've got other information, give it to me so I can look it over. Hun, go ahead.
Well, one thing we have to think about is what is the motivation behind their needing to cling to the dogma? So if we understand where they're coming from and why they need to cling to that, we might be able to approach it from a perspective that they maybe, just maybe, might listen to. So for instance, the people that, like my mother, who say, well, I need religion because it makes me feel better, and, you know, my brother's died and she wants to think she's going to see him and all that shit. You have to try and find an emotional comfort zone that incorporates the facts instead of relying on the dogma shit. Now, that's not easy by any stretch, but at least if you have an idea of where to come from, you have somewhere to start from.
Yeah, that's like one of two primary key points that people have mm-hmm. religion in their lives. Comfort, fear.
Yes.
Many of the Abrahamic religions preach fear first, comfort mm-hmm. second,
yeah.
and virtually nothing after that. And yeah. so when you scare the shit out of a poor kid all their adolescent life into adulthood,
mm-hmm.
and you temper that fear with the knowledge that the only comfort they will receive is if they strictly adhere to that dogma that's being preached, it's like trying to knock down a cement wall with a toothpick. It's very hard to get through that.
It is. Because
eventually we'd all weigh it out. Sure, but you're going to go through a lot of toothpicks in the problem, and you might even bang your head a few times
mm-hmm.
actually get better results in that respect.
Yeah, I'm going to come back to that in a minute, Tech. Joe, yes?
I have 2 points. One, I have to ask for this first one. Are we discussing specifically the textbook issue? Like, are we talking books in general, or just the focusing on the textbook issue right now?
I think it's how dogma affects our system of learning, whether it's a textbook, whether it's hand-down knowledge, whether it's self-imposed research.
Ignore the textbook thing, but just learning in general. We're talking about education right now, yes?
Yeah. That's the goal. The global topic is
so
knowledge.
First point. Here in the U.S., and this is usually the same for most other places too, education falls into some sort of government level, because whether it's federal government or it's local government or state government, whatever you happen to have, government is involved somewhere in education because, you know, it is in the government's best interest, usually, to have educated citizens. Yes?
Right.
So my idea on this is look at it from a very democratic republic sort of view. Get everybody together and ask the question, is this constructive to the young mind? Yes? No. If not,
that's
no.
That's a partial problem.
Hold on,
get to the Bible Belt.
Let me finish. Two, or is it in any way, you know, a slight to one group or another? If it is, no. You know, that sort of thinking, you know, pare it down to where until you have the pure idea of the item, and if it still checks out with what we want out of education, then get it. It can go through. However, my second point, and I've made this point before on this show, whether it's religion or any other dogmatic ideal that you happen to have, the public school system is not the place for it. The public school system is to ensure that our future citizen, the future bulk of our citizenry for our country has the necessary knowledge to operate as a adult, as an adult, period, that they can operate in society and in the world effectively. That is the point of our education system for the K-12 kind of thing. You want to teach a kid religion? That's fine. That is what Sunday school is for. That is what church is for. That is what your family discussions are for. When you start trying to put it into schools, you are no longer just affecting your own child. You are affecting the children of your neighbors, of your, friends or not. And that's not okay. That's just not okay.
And that's part of the problem. Yeah, Ted.
Agreed.
Okay. Joe, I agree with you, what you've said. However, somebody is using your argument. Somebody in a position of political power, and I believe it's out in, remember the article correctly, it's in Arizona, and what they're trying to do is they're not trying to get religion put into the science book. What they're trying to do is take evolution out of the science book, because they're claiming that teaching evolution in science class is paramount to religious discrimination. So remember on your sub point two on your first topic was that if it discriminates against a particular party or group, then no. So he's using this gentleman out in, like I said, I think it's Arizona, this politician is using that argument to try to get evolution stricken from the science textbook. He's not trying to get intelligent design or creationism, whichever title you want to give, put in. He's trying to get this stuff out. And therein lies the problem. Either your particular argument is being used against you and the citizens of Arizona.
Yeah. Okay. So the problem that we've got to deal with is the myopic look, the myopic vision, that people in that particular position continue to have. And that's a problem.
Mm-hmm.
That's what a lot of it really boils down to. Just not being ignorant of one's own biases.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think that's... I don't feel like I'm really describing it accurately, but that's the best way that I can put it. And what was mentioned before in the Q&A was exactly right. The big difference between their book and our books is that we've actually read the books.
We've vetted the information.
Even better. Not only have we read our books, but generally speaking, we've read those books too. Exactly. Now, to that end, Joe, we've talked about this before. We both being Roman Catholics from upbringing, definitely not by choice any longer. I've said it before. For me, going through religious education catechism for Roman Catholicism, there was virtually no book reading whatsoever as far as to the Bible is concerned. What did you have any? Oh, I yes. wouldn't think so.
In oh, fact, seriously. The first 3 years of my public education actually took place in a school called St. Mary's Nativity in southern Chicago, where, yes, it was a Catholic school. And I attended a Catholic school for my first 3 years. And I actually failed the third grade.
Because you forgot that God made NaCl into salt?
Because I was asking too many questions. That and the whole horror stories of the nuns and the rulers, yeah, those are true.
Yeah.
I believe that.
I can't tell you how many times I had to say the Hail Marys, and I swear there's still a rosary somewhere in one of the corners of that building that's, you know, got my thumbprints imprinted into it. But or rosary, excuse me, not rosemary.
Don't feel bad, Joe. I spent one year, my sixth grade year, at Seton Catholic Middle School in upstate New York. Yeah. And in that 1 year, I won't go into details as to why I was there. Let's just put it this way: I had to hop school systems for 1 year, just so to get around, so my folks could get around a legal loophole in the system for me. But the in that 1 year, I learned that I knew more about science than anybody else in that school, including the teachers.
Wow.
Not surprising, really.
And the teachers also figured out that I knew more about science than they did. So, I got a lot of time out. A lot of time out. And a lot of spending my lunch in the industry.
Okay, now, before you get off of that one, what was the school again?
Mine?
Catholic Middle.
Okay. Again, a Catholic school. Joe, you had something else you wanted to hit?
Yeah, two things. One, on the subject where you had just mentioned earlier that we have read their books, I've gone one over. I've read your book and their book and their book. I've read the Bible, both the King James, the Standard Catholic, many different versions. I even have the King James Version as read by James Earl Jones.
Awesome.
You got the voice of God there.
Yep.
Terrible work of fiction, but damn that narration. I almost felt the spirit there. Anyway, I've also read the Quran.
Oh, wow.
Didn't have to, but it was recommended that, since we were spending so much time over there, that we maybe, somehow
get familiar
with the culture. Did you
use 100% halal certified bacon bookmarker in it? Or however, did you just use a Muhammad picture portrait insert?
With that said, there is a second point that I would like to touch on, and that's what you were getting at earlier, Peck, about how this individual is using the system to try to claim that evolution is somehow discriminating against, damaging, threatening their worldview, to which I can only say this. If your worldview is so easily threatened that you feel that your own words and those of your clergy to your child aren't enough to convince them against the generally accepted argument, then maybe the problem isn't with the generally accepted argument, but maybe with your flimsy worldview.
Yeah. Therein comes that myopathy again.
Well, that's like what I have on my Twitter profile. It says, if your God cannot endure questions, criticism, or insults, then he, she, or it is psychologically weak. And it's right. same goes with the argument. If your worldview cannot stand up to new information, then there's something wrong with your worldview.
Where did I put that spaghetti?
But the problem is with those statements is that in at least in America, we have this movement of people who are trying to make everything politically correct. And it's been going on for a while, many decades. It's just it keeps getting more and more traction. And you have the Christians and Catholics declaring that they're being discriminated against, that they're the minority. And especially in this country, as soon as somebody says that they're associated with a minority group, that somehow, thanks to, in part by our multimedia and our news system, and as well as the you know, the unbiased opinion of millions of Facebook users, it somehow lends them some credibility, some imaginary credibility, and a weight behind their words. So now, like, I'm a guy. Not only am I a guy, I'm a white male. I'm Caucasian. And being Irish, Italian, Polish, and Russian descent, I'm really white. I'm neon white, you know? I make Barry Manilow look, well, I'm sorry, I lost the joke there. Anyway, but the point is that if I say that I agree with the Ferguson decision, suddenly I'm a racist. If I say, well, you know, I think they use the wrong kind of trial system for Ferguson, but I'll stand behind because I know how that kind of system works, that they reviewed the material and everything else. I'm still suddenly a racist, you know, because I'm white. If I defend our NASA's or the ESA's scientist, who, oh, yeah, it was a NASA scientist, who wore a shirt depicting the women. Right, shirt storm. The women depicted on the shirt were women of power, by the way, not yes. women being dominated.
I completely agree with you.
These were women in powerful figures. They were just sexy. I don't think there was anything wrong with his shirt in terms of feminism. I think it was inappropriate for television. I would have rather have seen him as a shirt and tie kind of guy when he's on national TV. Whatever he wears in the rest of his day, it doesn't bother me one bit. It's not something I would have personally picked out for that kind of setup. But the lambasting he got from the general public was outrageous. Had he, on the other hand, he'd been wearing a shirt of men,
right?
Because the lady who created the shirt for him has picked up some fabric that she advertised on Twitter recently in the last day and a half, showing men basically skimpy outfits and things like that, but muscle bound and stereotyped. You're not going to hear women going or men going, "Hey, that's degrading. You know, that's anti-men. That needs to come down. You know, you're a horrible person." It, you know, the feminist movement, you have two types of people in the feminist movement. The true feminists, the ones who want true quote-unquote equality, and then the other ones who are taking it way too far. Well, when you look at the religious side, they're taking it way, way too far. When I say I want science in my school, I'm not telling them that they can't have religion in their homes or in their churches or synagogues or temples or their mosques. I don't care what religion they practice at home. But that's not good enough for them because their dogmas demand that they convert their neighbors and their neighbors' children and their neighbor's dog. Or, well, actually some countries are banning dogs now. And that they eat the foods that they're going to eat and that they're going to have sex the way that they're going to have with the pinky finger sticking up somebody's left nostril, you know? And once again, as soon as somebody says, well, you know, they're attacking me and I'm part of such and such a minority group, people don't even get the information anymore on the news. They just go, oh, shit, they're being attacked. Quick, put it on the news.
Yeah.
And make this person look like a shameful human being.
And what pisses me off is that as a secularist, we get shit on all the time and we're not allowed to say anything. We're just supposed to suck it up and take it because, well, we're secularists and we must be bad or something. And that irks me to no end. If I have to shut the hell up and deal with your horse shit, then you shut the hell up and let me be me in public and keep your religious shit at home.
And like, you're bringing us right where I was hoping to be able to get to. We're about halfway, we're about two-thirds, theoretically, of the way through the show. Thank you for hanging out with us. This is Holy Crap, the Vlogcast. And again, if you are tuning in recently, please, by all means, take advantage of the Q&A system so that we can touch on a couple of things. If you notice that there is some stuff that has been deleted out of the Q&A, it's because it's not a question, and it's something that's just, you know, kibitzing information back and forth. So it's not that I'm trying to censor anybody. It's just I'm trying to clear up stuff so that I can look it through a little bit better. Now, where you guys have hit on inadvertently is where I was looking to go to. The whole thing with quote-unquote Shirtgate. Now, to make sure that the folks in the future know what we're talking about, because I think in the very near future, this is going to become a complete non-issue, and people are going to go, really? Which I would love. Within the last 2 weeks, you know what? So much for the PG-13. They landed a fucking space probe on a fucking comet.
Yes.
And the thing was the size of a washing machine.
Yes. Yeah.
And comet was the size of Rhode Island.
And it was wonderful. And
space that was really hard to do.
It was wonderful. Oh, now, here's what happened. When the announcement, when the press release stuff was going on and the lead scientist, mission specialist, whatever his title was, I don't really remember, came out and talked with people. He was wearing this shirt that was made by a friend, and it had women on it, as was described. And he got crap for it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, hold that as a little vial in the side for a second. If you remember, not too very long ago, when they were dropping these great technological achievements on Mars, you had Mohawk Guy.
Yes.
And that was for one of the Mars missions. I think it was for the Mars Lab Curiosity, I think. I've forgotten off the top of my head because I'm trying to remember it. But this was a guy at NASA's JPL who had a freaking mohawk. And so many people were all pissed off about it, saying, why should somebody who is in a professional environment like this, a scientist in a group like this, why should he be wearing a mohawk? Okay, let's go back a little bit further. How many dozens or hundreds or thousands of people were all up in arms because an obviously mentally deranged, sexually repressed individual who likes other men created the most amazing technological breakthroughs in computer technology? Mr. Turing was persecuted through no end for being homosexual. Gasp! So here's where I'm going at this point. And Heretic Woman, you've got the floor on this one because you were going right to it.
Yes.
The appropriateness factor is completely blown out of freaking proportion.
It's ridiculous. So, first of all, I mean, I get where they're saying, you know, it was maybe, quote, unprofessional. I personally am someone who wishes that we could get away from, you know, oh, well, there's a certain way to dress for this and a certain way to dress for that. I think it's all bullshit, and I wish we could get rid of it. But that aside, those, like, you know, Tech said, those were powerful looking women. And just because they're sexy doesn't mean a damn thing. You can be powerful and sexy. In fact, I try to rock that shit every day. But the idea that a woman can be less something because of what someone else is wearing is bullshit. And if you cannot find your personal power because of what someone else is doing, then you have bigger problems than that. Because, yeah,
I'm going to pause you there for a second because I want you to hit on this one. Okay. Because I learned about this one this past week. Mae West.
Mm-hmm.
Incredibly, brilliantly beautiful, sexy starlet stood 4'11", 5'2", maybe. She had a bust that would have put Dolly Parton to shame. She wore 8-inch lifting heels. She bolted on her own shoes on top of wooden shoes that were shaped and sized as if she were actually 8 inches taller, and always wore them because they would peek out the end of her skirt, and nobody ever knew she was as short as she was.
Right.
And she was one of the most incredible, beautiful, desirable starlets on screen at the time. And she was powerhouse, man.
Mm-hmm.
She got away with crap like you wouldn't believe on screen.
Absolutely. And you can be brains and beauty at the same time. There's no reason why that can't happen. Because there was a discussion in the AOA group that just blew up about that. And one of the poster's points was that, you know, if this message it was sending to women was that their brains didn't matter, and the only thing that mattered was their sexuality, their sexiness. And that's a load of crap. You know, you can be both. And like I said, if you feel that you have no voice or that you are less something because someone views you as a sexual being as well as anything else, then you're handing your power to that person on a silver platter. You need to own it yourself. You can't just, you know, take it from what other people think. And like the videos you see of, well, oh, that woman's being catcalled on the street all the time. So what? Learn to deal with it. And I mean, even if it's 100 people, you are the one that's responsible for your own power. And if you're going to get all intimidated by what other people do, then you're just handing it away. And that,
did you
that's
see the video
way.
Response to that?
There was
a video response to the woman being supposedly catcalled and harassed and all that.
Yeah.
There was a woman who had jeans painted onto her body, body paint. Okay?
Right.
She was naked from the waist down. I think she had a thong at most.
But no,
she was body painted. Oh, okay, completely bare except for the shoes on her
feet. Right. Right.
And they did such a good job, it actually looked like a pair of jeans.
But right.
When she walked, she jiggled. Okay?
Yeah. And
she walked down a busy section of the city, and not one person called out to her, not one person slapped her on the ass, not one person gave her a second look, nothing. So, to me, that says that the lady who our original video for the catcalls. First off, I know what catcalls are. I used to work in construction. I've heard from the guys when a pretty lady goes by. I've heard real, honest to God, excuse the phrase, catcalls. Most of what she received were honest compliments, and then there was that one guy who he was very awkward. He was taught how to approach a lady by somebody.
Yeah.
Actually, yeah. So other than that, that guy, I could see her being creeped out by, because that would creep me out if a woman was doing the same thing.
I've been followed home.
Proportion.
Yeah, I've been followed by some guy on the street from where I used to work, and, you know, you make it very abundantly clear that they are not welcome, and then you think about an escape plan. And I was walking home, and I knew that my car was there. I wasn't going to go in my house, but I was going to jump in my car and then get on the cell phone. But I made it clear that his presence was not welcome, and he eventually took off. But it's all about if somebody crosses the line, you make it bloody well clear that they have crossed the line and that that is not acceptable. And 9 times out of 10, they will listen to you if you assert yourself. But the problem is so many people don't know how to assert themselves or don't think that they can assert themselves.
Yeah, Joe.
Go ahead.
I've been sitting on this one for a moment, and it just ties perfectly in because you mentioned Turing and the fact that he was, in fact, a homosexual.
Mm-hmm.
We were discussing, you know, how all these shirts and such offend people and such. And I have to look to somebody who has a far better education than myself. And who better than Stephen Fry?
Ah, yes.
To quote, "It's now very common to hear people say, 'I'm rather offended by that,' as if that gives them certain rights.
Yes.
It's no more than a whine. It has no meaning, it has no purpose, and it has no reason to be respected as a phrase. 'I'm offended by that.' Well, so fucking what?"
Exactly.
And that's the quote. That's the quote.
Yes, it is. I've seen that quote. That is one that has been making the rounds on various social media as an image not exactly an image macro, but an image with Stephen Fry with the text to it. And mm-hmm. It is a wonderful, wonderful statement right there. And I'm going to end up closing this out with another one of those photo memes in a second. In a couple of minutes. Chris, hi, thank you, by the way, for having been on the double triple, whatever the show it was. Chris was asking, since we started the show with alternative medicine, which, you know, okay, can you cover alt, mid, and psychics, people who think they have all the answers? It's simple. Someone who says that they know what they're talking about all the time, every time, generally speaking, probably doesn't. Now, that's an oversimplification.
Unless they're always telling you that 2 + 2 = 4.
Well, now, see, here's the problem.
Or that there are 4 lights.
Yes.
You're killing me. One of these days, I'm gonna pull out my Star Trek uniform and I'm gonna wear it again.
I'll wear my red shirt that day then.
Well, funny enough,
don't do that, Bear.
What?
Pants and my tube top.
Because you are not the most interesting man in the world, and we all know that he's the only one that survives.
But I was the most interesting woman in the world because I did survive.
She's got you there. So anyway, all right. So let's start off with the easy stuff. Alt med. Alternative medicine, if it worked, would be called medicine. I learned that from Tim Minchin. And if you haven't yet seen anybody, if you haven't yet seen the video for the song Storm, look it up. Tim Minchin, Storm. It is a brilliant, wonderful work of prose in and of itself to really describe. If you really want to believe this stuff, that's perfectly fine. But don't tout it out like you know what in the hell you're talking about with stuff that we call reality. I can't even quote it. Tim has done a lot of stuff. No, wait a second. Tim Minchin has also done. He did. No, wait a second. Heretic Woman. He did the Reason Rally, right?
Yes.
Okay, he got a lot of crap for that too, if I remember right.
Oh, really? I've only seen the replay on Atheist TV.
I'll have to see that. Tech, had you seen that particular song video for Storm?
For Stormfront?
No. Storm was the name of it. Tim Minchin.
No, I haven't seen it.
Okay.
Sorry.
Assuming
other podcasts.
That's okay. Assuming that you stay awake long enough, I will remind you before we get out. And I'm not making a joke at it because I mean, it gets late real fast. Joe has left the building. That's okay. We'll come back to that in a second. That's okay. I don't think that we really need to touch on homeopathy at all. I mean, really, if somebody really wants to go ahead and figure out if homeopathy is worth anything, investigate how homeopathy is described to operate and how it's done, and you will see very quickly it's just a load of BS. There's really, really nothing beyond that.
I would like to address something, though, in terms of alternative medicines, that on occasion we do come across as people some herb or root or vegetable or something that does seem to have on us what we would consider in the scientific world a significant number of people or pets some kind of positive response. The problem becomes when those same people have received those positive responses, start declaring it to be a perfect medicine. No, it has to go through a vetting process, a scientific process of review, study, trials, things like that. And this is why I'm bringing this up. I have a cat that's dying, okay? And she's on certain medications from the vet. We review, while looking up on these medications, we came across the supplement for pets called Essiac, and people who have tried it with their cats or dogs who were sick had positive responses. Well, the medicines weren't doing what they needed to do, and so we decided to throw in the towel, buy a single bottle of the stuff because it wasn't really that expensive to begin with, and you don't actually feed the cat or dog the pill. You actually open the pill and pour the powder on the food, depending on the size of the animal, how much you use of that capsule. So we did it according to the instructions, and while it hasn't stopped the cancerous tumor that's killing her, it has given her a noticeable energy boost, and it has she has been able to better digest her food, so she's having less negative symptoms of the medicines. So we tried taking her off of it, and those negative side effects of the regular medicines came back. She was having problems with the food. She was having a lack of energy. So she's back on it now, and she seems to be more comfortable, more energetic, and a little bit happier. So it's a case of where something that hasn't truly been vetted yet is actually having, at least in my family's case, a positive response on one of our pets. But this is not, I'm not going to declare it to be something that's going to work perfectly for everybody's pets. This is in my case and my scenario only that I can claim this. That's not scientific proof.
Okay. Joe?
On this particular subject, Tech, I can go ahead and I can make a clear reference between what you're getting at for the modern day and something that we today view as, you know, common medicine. Who in the world doesn't know about aspirin?
Mm-hmm.
Aspirin, or acetylsalicylic acid, as you know, it's chemically known, has been in use. It's not a new thing. It's been in use for, you know, the last 2,000 years. Hell, Hippocrates had used essentially the chemical in a tea for reducing fevers. This is how medicine starts. You look at these naturally occurring chemicals that occur in, you know, one herb or another, and over the course of many years, and in this case, many, many years, you begin narrowing down what exactly is having that effect and how it's having that effect. And it is that by that process that we develop medicine.
Yeah.
This is why there is research involved with medicine. When you have, you know, something like the acai berry craze, the acai berry, it'll cure cancer.
Mm.
And I'm sorry, how did you figure this one out? Well, because we introduced some ground up berry into this petri dish that we had of cancerous cells, and it reduced the number of cancerous cells by 40%.
Doesn't mean it's a cure.
That's not
no. Yeah.
That's one little experiment that has about as much conclusive answer as me sticking my frickin' finger up my nose and thinking, I wonder if I can touch my brain from here.
Well, there are ancient remedies that have some validity, and it's a matter of, in modern times, we have taken some of those things and figured out scientifically what makes those work. And initially, it was kind of a trial and error thing. Well, hey, if I ground up this herb and slap it on a wound, it doesn't get infected, or, you know, that kind of thing.
And something that we really should touch on for just a moment is that most of the modern medicines that we use today, very few of them actually treat the disease, you know, the disease or the condition that is actually afflicting the person, simply because we don't know of any way to do so. Most of them just treat the symptoms. Unless you're talking about something like antibiotics, where you are specifically targeting something that is causing this issue.
Yeah.
Okay, and I'm going to stop you right there. JM, I'm going to get to your question in just a second. But there was something that was made mention to in the question and answers. Where was it? Over here. Beth, who had put a little bit further down in it. One must remember, in the mind of religionists, which I'm hoping I'm getting that right, they see evolution as the Bible of atheism, hence why they refer to it as a religion, thereby justifying the discrimination aspect of their argument.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
If someone wants to go ahead and say that an atheist has a dogmatic religion, a dogmatic grip onto evolution, and they don't, ask them a simple question, and I heard this one earlier today. It might have been from Scathing Atheist. It might not have been. Why is there bacterial resistance?
Mm.
Ask them that, and take it right from there, because there is only one answer, and that is the direct result of the evolutionary process.
Satan. to further what Beth says, and I freak theists out all the time, because evolution has absolutely zero to do with why I'm an atheist. I didn't even give a shit about evolution for 17 years after I became an atheist. Didn't care. Had nothing to do with it. And if I've told many a theist, I said, look, I do my best to understand evolution, because in scientific terms, it is a fact. Now, if somehow someone proved it false tomorrow, I would not be changing how I see things. I would say, okay, we got here as we are a different way. When we figure that out, awesome. In the meantime, God has absolutely nothing to do with it. Don't care. I've never cared why humanity is here. I don't see a reason to. We're here. Let's make the best of it. And it freaks them out when they're like, evolution is wrong. I'm like, well, prove it to me, because I really don't care one way or another.
See, and now I'm getting ready for how I'm going to wrap up for this evening. And you're kind of reminding me of something that I said a while ago that I'm going to end up coming back onto. I want to finish this off with this piece that JM typed up for us. Even though it's not exactly quite in the realm of where I'm looking at, it does kind of attach itself. And JM writes this: indoctrination is evil. Emphasis by the writer. No other way of looking at it. It's enslavement, a thought-out, manipulative, organized effort to dominate minds, therefore bodies.
Good one, Joseph.
If you really want to see how awful indoctrination
of religious dogma is on children. Just ask adolescents how they feel after they've masturbated.
Nope.
Yeah.
Nope.
Seriously, how many of them feel shame and guilt and horror or horrified at what they've done? They've given into a sexual urge of theirs, something that is completely natural to the human condition, something that is actually, the human condition actually depends on. They've demonstrated in science that the endorphins, the chemicals that the body's brain releases is actually beneficial to the human, to your lifespan, directly related to the body. And when you condition a child about their body, about their sexuality, you have caused harm, you have damaged them, mm-hmm. you are shortening their lifespan, you are setting up a possibility, high probability, high probability that you're going to ruin a lot of their future potential relationships. You actually have caused harm through that kind of indoctrination. And that is just on the topic of sex. That just by itself demonstrates how harmful indoctrination can be.
You know what? I'm going to... Before I let you go on this one, because I'm gonna end up closing us out on this as half of my closing. Was there anything else that you wanted to add on to that as part of your closing, Tech?
I've talked to my son about he's 8 going on 9. He's in the next year or two probably going to hit puberty. He and I have already talked about the possible expected changes of his body, and that when he starts having feelings that he's not accustomed to, that he, any kind of confusion, anything of that nature, that he should be more than willing to come talk to me, because I will not judge him. I will not tell him that he's wrong. I will not make fun of him or anything of that nature. Okay? Whereas if I was a theist, more specifically if I was a Catholic or a Christian or a Jew, I'd be telling him about how bad all these things are, and that, how he has to, hide and feel shameful and feel horrified at himself. And instead, he's going to be one of the few children who's going to grow up realizing that, hey, this is normal. I'm normal. It's okay. I'm okay. And I just wish more parents could have that conversation.
Okay. Heretic Woman, I'm going to give you your chance to go ahead and chime on this one as we take it on out.
Yeah, indoctrination, I totally agree, is evil. In fact, I believe that teaching children that there's only one thing that you're allowed to believe is child abuse, you should teach critical thinking more than anything. It's just, and I agree with Tech there about, the guilt in your own body and what your own body does, and guilt in sexuality. It's bullshit. People should be able to experience what's natural to their own bodies and what's natural is to the human condition, and live happily that way, whether that's, a normal, or if, whether that's a heterosexual or a gay existence or a bisexual, or whether you want to be monogamous or poly or whatever the hell it is, as long as you are consenting adults, it should not matter, and you should not feel guilty about it. So, yeah.
Okay. Joe, this is your big opportunity.
I suppose now's really bad time to bring up the pussy control.
Guess you picked a bad week to give up smoking.
Now some of you get the reference. But it's a good example of how brainwashing can be quite effective. I mean, the old quote goes, give me a child and, you know, B.F. Skinner, give me a child and I can shape him into anything. Can be, you know, an upstanding adult. Could be a psychopath, could be a monster.
Mm-hmm.
When you're talking about someone that impressionable, there's just some things you shouldn't do. I myself, I don't have children. Kind of not a possibility for me, let's just say. But I have my niece and nephew, and, you know, love them to death. My niece is getting smarter than I am. That's a problem. Right now, I'm just barely keeping ahead of her. But my brother's doing a great job. He's letting them figure things out for themselves. And where they can't figure out for themselves, you know, he answers what questions he can. Or at least he helps them try to find the proper answers. That's all I can say on it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. By the way, before I go ahead and close this all out with all of this, by the way, Joe, I don't know if you'd seen it. There's a new Army commercial out there where Drill Sergeant is yelling at everybody and asking them why they come into the Army, and this one guy is saying, "Came in to be a graphic design artist, sir. This man has a plan. You should follow him." The guy's all smiling. Suddenly I just look at Tanya Trayvon, look at her, and I'm just like, Joe should have seen this at some point or other. I'm sure he'd say something.
And when I came in, it was be all you can be. Then it became Army of One, and they felt that was too individualistic. So then they got Army Strong. I'm sorry.
You know, look at it this way. I'll punch you in the back, and we'll find out if you've got that kung fu grip working. How's that?
I'm still you went on with that one, and I'm still remembering Forrest Gump. Gump, why'd you put that rifle together so fast? Because you told me to, Drill Sergeant.
Gump, you're a freaking genius. You are going to be a general someday.
If only. So I get the unenviable job of pulling this all together. And I will say for the record, by the way, that the last show that we did where I pulled everything together talking about God is Q or not, as the case may be, I thought my finale to it all was brilliant. And I say that with all humility, because I've listened to it a couple of times and I didn't realize where I was going until I actually got there. And I'm saying that because this one is really tough, because I knew where I wanted to go and I'm not exactly going to get there the way that I was expecting to. Indoctrination. We've kind of closed off a little bit with that, and this is a really, really sore topic, especially to us Catholics, who we could be 40, 50, 80 years out of the church, and if we just hear a couple of notes on a pipe organ, we know what the responses are supposed to be before a single note is sung. And if you question that, ask any atheist who has come out of the Catholic Church, what songs do they remember? And they will first off say, nah, I don't really remember. But if you play a couple of chords from the typical songs, that's indoctrination. That is brainwashing. That is conditioned response. Now, why am I bringing up this part? As many people would probably give me a harassment for, I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to say, suck it. My daughter and I, traditionally, typically, and unapologetically, listen to Scathing Atheist together. because as much as they are, in some cases, positively vile in some of the things that they describe, as we've said before, they are typically right spot on the money. Mm-hmm. When they go ahead and they rip somebody apart, when they mock, when they shred somebody for being absolutely stupid, they're right on the mark. They are incredible wordsmiths. And what has that got to do with indoctrination? This week was Thanksgiving week in the United States, 2014. If you listen to the Scathing Atheists episode for this particular week, you will hear how they ended up talking about 16 years after documents were made and or shredded, information was finally coming out about the Catholic diocese in wherever the hell it was. I forget where it was. Could have been Chicago, might not. I don't remember exactly. But 16 years later, the information is finally making its way out to the public about pedophilia. And we were on our way off to our Thanksgiving family of choice dinner tonight. And we listened to this, and after they finished with that particular segment, we paused it and we talked about this in the car, she and I. And the first thing out of her was, why did this take so long for anybody to say anything about it? I got a smart kid. I got a really, really smart kid. She gets it. She, at 12 years old, knows that this was wrong. And I had to explain it to her. Why wouldn't kids come forward? Why wouldn't parents come forward? Believe it or not, it falls back on the indoctrination thing. When you are a child, you're told that the police are safe people. Firemen are safe people. The people in your family are safe people. The people in authority are safe people. The indoctrination is that the people in the church are also safe people, because they had been taught the same thing, and so on and so on. I've used the expression before. You were taught wrong. And we've seen this happen. We've seen this happen in Missouri, in Chicago, in Ireland, in Germany. We've seen this around the world where these pedophilia scandals have popped up. And why haven't they been prosecuted, right word? It's because of indoctrination. The biggest roadblock to get through is the indoctrination. And if you are a child and you've been told these people are safe, these people know what they're doing, these are people in authority, if they do something to you that might you think kind of doesn't, shouldn't, know, you know, I know what I'm doing. I am trusted. You're supposed to trust me. Stop fighting. And then what happens? You tell your parents. Why would you say such a thing? This is somebody that's trusted. We know that they're trusted because they're associated with a group that's in power that we know is supposed to be trusted. What is wrong with you? And that's the problem. The problem is not looking outside of the myopic view that you've already got. And even worse, not realizing that what you've got is exactly that. You've got tunnel vision. You're not, it's not even that you aren't willing to try to take the blinders off. It's that for you, The blinders are simply a piece of what you're looking at. You can't see past them. You can't see them on either side. Even worse yet, there are people that don't even think that it's okay to turn their head to look. And I'm using the analogy that is for horses. And I understand that. And there's a good reason why. Because if you take the blinders, the blinkers, off of the eyes of a horse, they see everything around them. And there's stuff that scares them sometimes because they don't know what to do. They don't know how to process it. It could be somebody that's coming up from the side that they shouldn't be. They shouldn't normally be coming over to the side. And, oh my God, I'm going to get spooked now. And that's the problem. You can't go through life with that. You need to see stuff around you. Even if you don't like it, even if it scares you to the core, Mufasa taught us being brave means being scared but doing the right thing anyway. Who cares that it came from a cartoon? It's right, it's real, and it's proper. Be afraid. Take it all in. Learn from it all. Take the indoctrination, anything, and shred it, because it deserves. I wasn't going to end us on this at one point, but I'm going to, because it needs to be mentioned time and time and time again. If it disagrees with experiment, it's wrong. In that simple statement is the key to science. It doesn't make a difference how beautiful your guess is. It doesn't make any difference how smart you are, who makes the guess, or what his name is. If it disagrees with experiment, it is wrong. Richard Feynman said it, and I trust in it, not because Richard Feynman said it, but because it's right. The biggest, the baddest, the most effective way of shredding indoctrination and dogmatic adherence to anything is to question it. Because once somebody says, dude, that's just your opinion, man, or you're taking it out of context, or whatever, or I shouldn't be wasting my time on Facebook arguing with somebody who's not going to play on Facebook the way that I want to, as soon as somebody says, I'm taking my ball and going home, you've won. You may not win their heart. You may not win their mind in that moment. But you have won something even bigger and better. You have won the opportunity to say, I told you you were taught wrong. Now, start to show me where I'm wrong. Beat me. Beat my 12-year-old daughter. And then we can have a proper discussion. The learning process is forging a chain. Start from one point and get to the next and the next and the next and the next. If something in that chain fails, start all over again until you get a proper chain. Chains can either connect two points together properly and soundly, or they can hold you back. With the first link, the chain is irrevocably chaining us all down. Now, is that what you want, or do you want it instead to be connecting reality and the pieces that make it up? That choice is yours. We can't make it for you. We can only help you in trying to figure out which one actually works. As always, everyone, thank you very much for your time. said it on many an occasion, we know this is not a sexy vlogcast, but we do still believe that all of the opinions that we have are worthwhile and the perspectives are worth listening to. As always, Joe, thank you very much for your time tonight.
My pleasure.
Unrenowned Tech, thank you for your time, of course.
Absolutely, guys.
And Heretic Woman, thank you for being our token foreigner for the evening.
My pleasure. And everybody come watch my show on Monday night at 9:30 p.m.
Where?
On my YouTube channel, Heretic Woman. And you can check out my Facebook. I'll post the G+ link as well. In fact, I already have posted it. It's Atheists on Air, Beyond the Trailer Park, Episode 4, Scientology and Other Creepy Cults.
Ooh, creepy cults.
Yes.
Not regular cults, but creepy cults.
We are having a guest who is an ex-Scientologist who now runs a website watching out for other creepy cults.
Excellent. I'll be looking forward to, if not being with you guys, at least catching up on it later.
Yep.
In the meantime, everyone, please take very good care of yourselves. Stay safe, stay warm, and of course, our thanks go to the guys at Scathing Atheist, Atheist on Air, Dogma Debate, The Thinking Atheist, Patheos, etc., 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 ad nauseum. If you need or want groups to follow, podcasts to listen to, there are a ton of them. We will see. If you want to send me information, if you want to ask about these, please, by all means, hit me up as shujintribble@gmail.com. Please put holy crap in the subject line so that I know that you're actually asking about this. And we'll see what we can do for you. As always, before I get out, I always say goodnight for all of you and for my lady, too, because 9.5 years on, I am still in love. Matane Fujin. I love you and I miss you. Dream of me. Happy post-Thanksgiving, everyone. And of course, as always, until the very next time we get together. Good night.
You've been listening to Holy Crap, the Vlogcast. Feel free to leave a comment on the show's website at holycrapthevlogcast.com. where you'll also find links to our Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and Google Plus pages. Theme music provided by Kevin MacLeod at incompetech.com. On behalf of all of us here, thank you for listening.